Are you doing the music? Are we going to hold the mics? We can hold the mics.
I'm going to hold them.
Yeah.
Greetings, folks. Okay, well, this will be the Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab number 34.
34?
34.
Did the man say that?
Oh. It says 35 on there, so.
But I keep correcting you.
But you keep correcting me, as well you should.
So. Okay, great. You are?
I am Dave Hamilton from the Mac Observer, and this is...
John Braun from the Mac Observer.
There you
go. We do the Mac Geek Gab.
Mac Geek Gab podcast from MacGeekGab.com.
Absolutely.
And we are here today, today's episode, as we promised. And, of course, this is going to some of you here, those of you here, and of course, many, many more of you at home. So we may recap some things that that you folks already know because you've been to the Apple booth, but that's because there's, frankly, the people at home, there's more of them, so they win. That's kind of the topic of the show. We've got a couple of things to give away, but as always, this show's not possible without the folks that sponsor us. And today's sponsor is Mac Service, and they are Mac Service at MacService.com. Correct? Is that right? Just yeah. Okay, good. I want to make sure I got that right. They are an out of warranty repair company, so an Apple Care alternative, right? And the way that they work is you call them up, and if you have a problem with your PowerBook, I guess it's PowerBooks and iBooks, right? So if you have a problem with your laptop, you give them a call, and a box arrives. You don't need to worry about having your original box. A box arrives that day or the next day, and you pack your laptop in it. You call up the shipper, and off it goes. And they fix it the next day, give you a call first, of course, tell you what's going on and what's wrong with it, and how much it'll cost. And then they ship it back to you. Overnight, 24-hour turnaround in many or most cases. Overnight shipping is $49 both ways. So that's right, $49 one charge, right? Okay. I guess ground shipping is free right now. And if you have a repair need, 25% off for anyone for the month of January that uses the keyword MacWorld. So that's MacService.com. Did I get all that right, man? Okay, good.
Okay,
all right.
I'm actually thinking of breaking my computer just to try you guys out.
That's right.
Does anybody have a... No, okay. Would anybody like to offer a machine just to test these guys out? No. That's
dedication for you.
Yeah, so I am having a problem. I want to check up with them later. I have something with my latch on my PowerBook. I don't know.
He's the man to talk to. MacService.com.
I think so.
Okay, so we have keynote stuff to talk about today, things that we saw at the keynote. And then we've got some things to give away for those of you that are actually here. So, see, you are more important than the people at home because, you know.
They won't win anything.
That's right. So.
Keynote. Who was at the keynote?
At the keynote. Okay.
What do you guys think?
Yeah?
Okay. I'd say us,
really,
too.
So that was most of the people here were at the keynote, of course, but not all of you actually liked it. So I thought Steve was, I thought he was a little subdued today. You know, he was his mic level was low. Did you notice that? He was real quiet. And I wondered if they did that to keep people from talking, right? Because, you know, if you lower the level, it doesn't work here. But, of course, I'm not Steve.
Yeah. I thought he was good as always. I don't know. I may have been jaded, but the reality distortion field, I think I built up resistance over the years.
You do. Yeah, that's right. The Kool-Aid only works the first 10 times.
I mean, it was before. He would say the sky is blue, and you would think, oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
Steve said this guy, and then you come away and you're like, wait a second.
All right, so one of the first things you talked about was 10.4.4, right? 10.4.4. Has anybody seen that yet? Has that showed up? No, okay.
I ran Mac update, software update just a little while ago,
okay.
And I couldn't find it. So I did find there is a new QuickTime. I saw a new version of QuickTime and a new version of iTunes, like a point increase. If you check that, I think it's going to support some of the... I'm not sure what it's going to do. I didn't read it. I just applied it, which...
You didn't read it?
I should really not do that.
No.
I did that once with a firmware update, and that was really bad news because my RAM chip stopped working. I think some of you remember that. So
yeah.
Don't do what I do. Don't apply a software update immediately. But I just don't know any better. So
you don't know any better. No. That's why we have you here.
So 10.4.4, that's good.
Yep.
Now that led into... Now there were some things we predicted in our last...
Yeah, that's right. iLife 06... So I'm very happy about it supporting more than 25,000 photos because my wife actually has, no, she's probably actually got about 5,000. So, you know.
Well, you got kids, so.
Oh, we do have kids.
You
yeah.
could get
yeah.
that many photos.
I like that they've finally taken a nod. It seems like they're chasing Picasso's. Anybody see Picasso on the Windows side, right?
I gotta say, for a Windows program,
it rocks.
I would actually say it's probably better than iPhoto.
And the one-click effects is something that Picasa has had for a long time. It's great to see iTunes with that. I like the calendars and the cards, of course.
That is a biggie, because I know a lot of people were saying, you know, how do I get cards on my Mac? So that is a big plus. The calendars look slick. The cards look very slick, because I know people use other services like Shutterfly.
Has anyone here had a chance to play with iPhoto in particular at the Apple booth, the new stuff that they're doing? No, okay.
Okay, it's kind of crowded there. You kind of have to muscle your way in.
You beat your way through. Yeah.
More photos. They said it was faster. You know, I think that's always funny because every time Steve says it's faster, he never says, you know, it's slower than last time.
That's right.
But it is good that they're speeding it up, and especially with the new, I'm jumping the gun here, with the new processors, it's going to be really fast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But what else we got in iPhoto that I thought was interesting?
Well, the photo casting. I mean, I think that it's cool that they're actually kind of capitalizing on all of that. Of course, Guy Kawasaki's probably not all that happy. Right, because Film Loop came out yesterday, and then today we've got photocasting. And even though Film Loop is cooler, it's not built into every Mac, so...
Do you guys know about Film Loop? Okay.
Yeah.
If not, go to filmloop.com. Basically, it's an application. They announced it for Windows. It, as the name implies, you get a scrolling film loop on your desktop. And what you can do is, to create a loop, you just drag photos onto it. But here's the interesting part. You can share it with other people. So it's very similar, and I think this is why they maybe did it a day before. There was a press event where they previewed it to us. But you drag photos on a loop. You create a loop. It starts scrolling. You can share it with other people, but then this is where it's fun. Other people, if you choose to do so, can drag photos on it, and it changes in real time. So very similar to what they announced in iPhoto. And actually, they had a Windows version for a while. They announced a Mac version, and I think Guy took a little ribbing for that because, you know, he's a Mac guy, and... You know, his VC company supported something on the Windows platform first.
Right.
So it's getting from audio to other things now, to photos.
Which is cool. Yeah. What I want to see, which would be cool, I think Film Loop would be even cooler with it, is you take the metadata from the picture. We didn't talk about this on the podcast yesterday, did we? We talked about it walking, I think. Okay. I hate to repeat myself. But if you take the metadata from the pictures, right, and then you know what time each picture was taken... And then you have like multiple people at the same event. Let's say that, you know, we've got 10 people with Film Loops from Macworld, right? You relate them all together, and then if you could take them all and sort of aggregate them by time and see what time certain pictures happen. And I mean, there's certain things where that would be really cool to kind of take. You know, you get multiple angles coming in, and I think that's something where Film Loop could totally rock, right? Mm-hmm. And if you could time code it, right? You could have keynote, right? Take the keynote, for example. Got all these people taking pictures, you could sync it up to the time code of the thing and really create your own multi-shot sort of thing. I don't know. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah.
But I'm
now,
a geek,
to go back
so.
Here, I'm going to break the agenda here. Well, I'm going to go
Come
backwards,
on.
But I got it.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
All right. One thing.
It doesn't matter.
The revenue figures?
I think it's recording, so.
Who's a stockholder? Okay. Even if you're not, I still think there could be upside, but I was amazed. I think, was it $5 billion in revenue the last quarter?
5.7. I have your notes, John, here, so you talk to him about that.
Okay. But I'm going to talk into the mic because people can hear me and I can hear me up here. But anyway, so $5 billion, so you figure that out, that's what, $20 billion a year? That's getting huge. I mean, for a while there, they're doing great. And then I think some of you folks remember the bad old days when they were licensing. And even though licensing, people thought that was good, the problem was that Apple was going into a death spiral. So I didn't blame them for cutting that off, even though I had some Power Computing clones. Some of you may have had some clones at some point.
Yeah.
Who were some of the makers? I mean, Power Computing was good.
Yeah, really Power Computing, UMAX, Motorola. Anybody else have a clone out here? Yeah, what'd you have, Shelly? Power Computing, yeah, okay, UMAX.
But some of the growth figures that I saw, that was great. So they're making lots of money. They're selling just a boatload of iPods. I mean, that graph is scary because you keep getting people predicting it's gonna flatten out, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, eventually it'll flatten out, but there's also all these people that just... are just now getting on the bandwagon. I think, you know, it's... I mean, you saw the graph, and it makes sense.
Or buying multiple. I have three.
The same thing's happening with our listener numbers on the podcast. It's like this wall.
Yeah.
But we can't get through it. So it's a different kind of wall, actually. Actually, it's not related at all.
Tell your friends to listen. But no, I have three iPods. I have a Shuffle, I have a Nano, and then I have a 4G 40 gigabyte. I think it's 40. Yeah, and I use them all for different purposes. So it may sound kind of crazy, sound geeky. I think it is geeky to have
you're
more than
geek.
One iPod.
I mean, it says right there on the sign, two Mac geeks talking to you. So, you know, it's okay. It should. It did before. So
The accessory. Now, this one, I didn't hear a lot of talk about it, and it was kind of unexpected, but they're almost acknowledging that some of the other players that has all the gizmos and gadgets and bells and whistles, the combo remote FM tuner. What I thought was really weird, though, is that when you looked at the screen there, you saw that it's almost like there's something built. I don't know if you have to update the firmware, but it showed a screen with an FM tuner. Is that already on the iPod, and this thing just activates it?
Oh, yeah, that's actually a good point. They couldn't have built that into it. I mean, no, it's got to be a new firmware update to go with it, right? I mean, that stands to reason.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if they buried that in the iPod, you know, what else have they buried in? No. Say that again. I'm sorry. Someone would have found it by now. Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, I guess so. Yeah.
Keep looking.
That's true.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. You can't. You can't bring that in here.
There's a convention down the road. There's for attorneys. We've got someone here with a Dell laptop, folks. So.
Dells are. It's okay.
We won't say which guy it is or anything because, you know, we don't want to single him out.
Don't point at him, Dave. All right. Getting on the FM thing, though, you know, it's good news that they announced the thing with vehicles. Now, I don't know. I mean, that seems like kind of a high figure. 40% of vehicles are going to have iPod connectors of
some sort. New vehicles. I mean, not 40% of all vehicles, right? I mean, there's different ways to report statistics, right?
Yes.
As we all know.
Right.
And there's a man that reports statistics for a living, right? He kind of massages statistics. Anyway.
The guy in the back. No. But that's good.
That was good.
What was the association I was trying to make? Yes. FM tuners. Now, in the car, I don't know about you, but if you live in a metro area, I have not yet, which may mean I get no more free toys from the people that make these, but
yeah.
I haven't yet found an FM tuner that I'm happy with. Now, I live in Connecticut. I'm very near New York City, and you can't find a dead radio station.
No.
Now, maybe if you're out in, you know, more open areas, but I haven't found
one. You
got to
get the Harman Kardon thing, man.
I got to get something.
We need to get the Harman Kardon thing. Yeah, that's
the
right.
Tape cassette or
no, it's totally built in
kit.
With the interface. Yeah. It's $150 or 100, yeah, 200, and then about $100 at Circuit City to install it. Unless you want to rip your dash apart yourself, which if you're going to do that, there's no reason to get that nice looking Harman Kardon thing because it's not going to look that nice behind it, right? You know, once you've drilled into your dash, what we're talking about is this. It's a direct to your stereo iPod. Interface, but it's got its own display, so you can totally control the iPod without touching the iPod. And really what I want, of course, is that just built into the car so you don't even have to dig apart the dash or anything like that. So, mm-hmm. Right? Right.
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 When you're right, you're right.
Yeah.
You want to
move on to the hardware stuff, or are we going to stay on software? Let's stay on software.
I don't think there was too much more software. I mean,
there was the podcast studio thing, right?
Now that, yeah, we got to get into more detail.
Exciting for us, anyway.
Right, and anybody who's tried, I mean, right now, unless there's something that we don't know, which is entirely possible, Dave and I are not all-knowing, all-seeing.
Well, you might not be.
You're not either, but typically everybody who's doing podcasts right now uses one thing for recording, one for making the feed, another piece, and there are just different pieces, and right now we haven't yet seen anything, though this may be it, that puts it all together.
The only problem, of course, is, well, there's a couple of issues. The big one is it only uploads to .Mac. I mean, it'll sync with iWeb, and then iWeb only uploads to .Mac. And I don't know that anybody else can change that, right, because they're doing a lot of that AJAX technology and stuff, and I wonder how much of that is server-generated on the fly versus generated by iWeb and just simply uploaded as you know, static documents. I think there's got to be a lot of server integration stuff there, so.
Yeah, did you notice Steve didn't mention a certain browser? Well, I guess it was one that he used to love, but now he doesn't love anymore. Because Microsoft's not.
Yeah, IE sticks.
You guys on? Yeah.
Yeah.
He mentioned Firefox too, which I.
Oh yeah.
I'd say if something doesn't work in Safari, and I usually have pretty good luck, I use Firefox. Yeah.
So we went over and talked to Apple for a little while, and the one thing that Steve mentioned in his keynote today, but didn't go into, was pulling iChat audio in, so that you can essentially do what we do from remote and make a podcast of it. And you can have multiple, iChat, of course, allows you to have multiple people, depending on the speed of your Mac, chatting at the same time. I think up to four, you plus three others. And it will pull that audio in to GarageBand, and each person is a separate track, which is great because if, say, John is not loud enough or if you've got one guy on a great mic and one guy that using the mic in his Mac sitting over there in the middle of Macworld Expo, you've got the capability of doing tweaking on that individual channel in GarageBand without impacting the rest of the sound before you mix down, obviously. So That was something nice to see, and we couldn't demo it there, but it sure seemed like they if they made it work the way they looks like they made it work, it should work very well.
The ducking feature that
and auto ducking.
When he demonstrated
sure.
as soon as he starts saying something, the music will fade out. That's something right now that either you handle. Dave's the one that handles all the.
You have auto ducking too. You're looking at him.
Yeah, exactly. you're the human interface to that right now. And I'm looking for something here, but there is definitely this podcast that I want to sign up for. Oh yeah, it was Steve's Super Secret Apple Rumors. I don't know. I just thought that was.
Did anybody get the URL
hilarious.
For that? Is that in iTunes? Is that published out there yet? Did anybody get the URL to sign up to that?
Okay. The 8-pound 10-inch iPod. I'm looking forward to it.
Are you?
Or the iToaster. No, I'm not.
Are you? iDVD, anything that third-party burners, that's nice to see Apple supporting that out of the box. We don't have
that's
to
good.
Break it and use secret patches that we have to go and download from nefarious sources and all that good stuff, right? I don't know about any of those sources, do you? It doesn't matter anymore.
I have no idea where you're
talking
just
go to the
about.
Apple store, buy it. $80,
yeah.
right?
But they,
yeah,
they
and they kept the price
better.
The same.
That's so. Good. But they've gotten better with their... third-party device support, the DVDs and all that, the PowerBook that I have now supports everything.
Talk into the
other
mic.
Than minus R.
There you go.
Okay. Well, I could hear myself.
Yeah, but you're not as loud.
Keep me honest.
Yeah, we'll keep you honest.
So iDVD, I don't use it too often. I don't know about you. Do you do a lot of movies with
No, I don't. It's no secret that I'm not a man of great patience, and making iDVDs, that takes a lot of time. Put together what you saw on that screen today in that keynote room, that hours and hours of work. I mean, they made it look easy, but and the tools are there, and the tools are easy to use, but it is still a very time-consuming process, and I haven't found a way to integrate that in, so I keep waiting for my wife to, but of course, she's two kids and rides a horse and all that stuff, so it's just not going to happen.
She doesn't have time for that.
She doesn't have time for that.
So we were predicting yesterday between you and I
onto the hardware
room, and we were both right.
We were both right, except I was actually wrong because I said that I didn't think that they'd come out with a desktop.
And I was suspecting that, but the only reason I said that is because I know they were giving away had a seed unit for developers, so it was already possible. Though the guys at Intel, I got to give them credit that they worked that hard to get a. So that was a surprise. So actually, I'm quite pleased that I got lucky and. Made the right prediction there.
Yeah, but, I was surprised to see that. Yeah,
yeah.
Because the iMac doesn't. I mean, it's a desktop Mac now, right? The older iMacs, the lampshade ones, were actually laptops with big flat screens inside the lampshade.
Yeah.
The new iMacs, and they used laptop RAM, the old ones, and it was essentially a laptop motherboard with all that. The new iMacs are not. It's a desktop machine. It uses desktop RAM. And, I mean, obviously there's some crossover. It's all a computer, but it doesn't use the low-power chips and all that stuff. So, of course, all the analysts had said that we would see laptops first, so just didn't think about it. But
So we got the one more thing. That was good. But the iMac, what I do like about that is that they... we did review one, and we were pretty happy with it.
Yeah.
The iMac G5.
So I wanted to thank Steve, not only for And I say Steve, of course, like I know him. I don't. Thank Mr. Jobs for not doing a boring 2.5-hour 10 best things about OS X snooze fest. But I also wanted to thank him for not playing that Green Day song and showing us pictures of all of the kids because, you look around the audience and all the parents in the audience are just... tears streaming down their face, and I just didn't have the emotional fortitude for that today.
Too much emotion.
Does anybody know the name of that song? We got something to give away. What's that? No. The old one. No. The old one with the acoustic guitar thing that he did years and years ago. Right. Yeah. Warning? I don't think it's Warning. Michael, Time of Your Life. A copy of Disc Warrior from Alsoft.
We have a winner.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
We've got another copy to give away, don't worry.
Yeah. Has anyone... we'll have to think about what the criteria is for that.
Yeah, well, something hopefully will come to us. Otherwise, we'll just,
I hope so.
We can do pick a number.
What number am I thinking of? No. Yeah, we'll think of something. Now it was funny. You have a comment here in the notes, and I don't know how to take this though, but for the longest time, I do seem to remember that there was a lot of effort spent in positioning the G5 as a superior processor to the Intel. On the one hand, and I think it could be that everybody was telling the truth. I mean, before, what Steve would always do with Phil, and it was good to see Phil in the audience. That was really cool with him walking around with the new iBook.
Yeah, for those of you who didn't see the keynote.
Or PowerBook, I'm sorry. The MacBook.
It was the MacBook Pro, which we'll talk about in a minute, because we actually went and checked out one of those pretty extensively. So.
But what they would always do, which I think was almost kind of rigging it, again, I hope Steve isn't around, but they would always do Photoshop. Now, for most people, Photoshop is not the thing that you use every day, but they would always use Photoshop as an example of how the Mac is better than the PC.
Yeah.
Well, for Photoshop people and doing a Gaussian blur, which I know Photoshop people, that's pretty much all they do is Gaussian blurs.
I think that's exactly what, yeah. Does it do anything else? No, okay.
So in that respect, I mean, it did showcase it, but here, now also the benchmarks, I think they did a SpecInt and a...
You get a point for that one, you know.
What?
For the Gaussian blur. That was actually funny.
Thank
you. Yeah, so we got to write that down.
I try to be funny every
that's
now
good.
And then.
Yeah.
With you, it's easy.
Yeah. Oh.
That wasn't
wow.
funny.
Wow. Can feel the love.
But here they did, I think it was SpecInt, which is one of the popular, and Spec Floating
Benchmarks.
Point.
Yep.
Now, what I did notice, I mean, if you look at it, there are two. It's a dual core, so it's not quite double.
Right.
They're sharing cache.
It's sharing cache.
But they are two
right.
things. And it looked to me, I mean, it was a little over two times as fast. So,
yeah.
I mean, part of it could be,
there's two processors running that, yeah, absolutely.
But it's still amazing. Now, to get it in a portable...
Yeah.
I think that's very cool, because unless you get... I mean, they have these luggables that I've seen on the PC side. I haven't personally seen one, but...
They've got dual processor PCs, but, you know, they're like this thick. Yeah. And, I can only imagine what the battery life is on them. And of course, the heat output, you can't really put one of those on your lap and expect to... not in the summertime, anyway, if you're wearing shorts, right?
Right.
Scorch you. Yeah.
So. I have had that happen. I do remember the early...
The early Titaniums were like that.
They were pretty toasty.
Yeah,
they kept you warm at night.
Macworld Boston, sitting in your hotel room at night. And
ouch.
Writing an email, and oh my God, knees are bright red, bleeding.
Yeah. So they look very fast. I mean, he was going through everything there. It looked live, and it was going pretty zippy, so I look forward to it.
So I wanted to go back to that. You talked about him turning the PowerPC and Intel thing around. I mean, in less than a year, we... You know, and this is just proof that we all drink this silly Kool-Aid that Apple's been making forever, and it still actually works.
We do.
Is not only did they turn the PowerPC and Intel thing around, they turned the megahertz myth thing around in less than a year, right? Mm-hmm. A year ago, we all thought PowerPC and, you know, megahertz don't matter. And then now it's like turned around, and we're still saying megahertz don't matter, but it's the other side of it. It absolutely amazes me that, you know, the marketing message that they are able to deliver to the Mac faithful is.
But I think,
you're not going any further than that.
I know that's what I.
No,
no, but what no, I will. There we go.
Hey,
see, look, it was a hardware.
That's what your other hand is for.
So where are we at here? Running Windows on the new machines. I'm gonna suspect that. Well, I know that in some of the...
Yes.
You know, they didn't cover
yes.
this.
Yes, yeah. And what's it called? Do you know what it's called? Is it Darwine? Is that
Wine.
The name of the... Okay, so that's actually great information. So, here's your copy of Disc Warrior, man.
All right.
Well, that was a good throw with the left hand and everything.
It was a good catch, too.
It was a good catch, yeah. There's rumors... And I think people have been doing it with an open source thing called Darwine. They've been making it work on the pre-production machines. So unless they find some way to lock that out,
right?
And then you said that Virtual PC, and they've been working on Virtual PC in what they call a rootless mode for a long time, which means that the windows from the Virtual PC interact with the Mac side. As opposed to having a desktop in a Windows desktop in a Mac window, the Windows desktop is gone, and it just like Rosetta will, right? I mean, anything that's running in Rosetta is running rootless. Say that again. like classic, exactly. Classic's a perfect example. Yeah, yeah. Well, although it's not processor sharing. I mean, it's not processor emulation, but it's the same sort of thing. Exactly. It boots it up and then it goes away, and
probably,
you don't really know.
I wonder how well it's going to run. If it's going to run optimized, I mean, it looks like all the hardware they were using is off-the-shelf stuff, ATI board or chipset and stuff like that. So as long as Windows can find everything and knows what it is,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I doubt Apple's going to offer you a driver to help you out along running Windows on there, but who knows? And with the Rosetta layer also.
Yeah, and I mean, Rosetta's going to presumably be rootless. I mean, I can't imagine that they would make it worse. Yeah, right, yeah.
Now, the opposite of that, running OS X on an Intel box, from what I understand, they're probably going to put
BIOS locks in the OS.
Well, there is, yeah. I mean, there's this DRM style or just a magic chip in there, and I think every now and then OS X is going to go out and say, hey, magic chip, are you in there? If it's not, it's going to assume it's running on plain vanilla PC hardware and just stop. Though I'm sure, you know, people, if they're determined enough, I mean, you know, security is, you know, people who are persistent enough will figure a way around
it. There will be a way around.
And I think it's in...
10.4.3 has been cracked. Yeah, and presumably when 10.4.4 comes out, it too will be. I mean, that's the age-old cycle. I mean, that's why we don't have copy protection anymore on most software, right? Because it was a waste of everyone's time, and companies were spending money doing it, and it took days, right? I mean, we used to go to Apple Fest, right? And people would, pirates would, and I didn't know any of these people personally or wasn't involved in it or anything, but I knew some people that would steal software from the booth, right?
Really?
And take the copy protection off before the show ever even ended.
They would do like distract the people at the...
At the booth.
At the booth.
Because this was in the days of things like this, these floppy disks.
What is... Oh, yeah. Okay.
You didn't think I was going to pull this out of my pocket, did you?
I didn't know what you were going to pull out of your pocket. So. All right.
This is
a family show.
This is actually a... believe it or not, there's actually data on this, and this is new. This is from AppleMatters.com. There's this day in Apple history, which is one of the coolest podcasts. If you haven't checked it out, go to AppleMatters.com/this day. It's cool. It's a short little 3-minute thing about what happened on this particular day in the history of Apple. It's very well produced. They're doing a great job with it. So, didn't mean to plug them, but hey, that's why he had these made up, right? I mean, you never know.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Apple Fest. Did anybody go to Apple Fest? Oh,
really?
Gosh.
Look at that.
All right.
There you go.
That was a lot of fun. And it was in Boston. That was fun, too. I kind of missed the East Coast shows. I think we've seen our last East Coast show.
I think you're right.
Yeah. The last one. It was small. I mean, a lot of times, I don't know. I mean, Apple, everybody covers Apple. It was always the smaller vendors that I always enjoyed seeing. Just, you know, like even here, the people in the way corner somewhere that have a small booth, they probably, you know, spent their last penny or, you know, a good chunk of change to get something small. And a lot of them have... Some of that's the most exciting stuff.
We saw something exciting at the East Coast show years ago, which was which actually kind of happened again today, and that was that Microsoft got on stage and committed to making Office for the Mac for another 5 years. And while that was good, when they did it in Boston, whatever it was, 96, 97, was it 97? Yeah, that sounds about right. Of course, when they did that, it was Bill who came via satellite, and he wrote a big fat check to Apple. So, you know, I mean, it was nice that they brought Roz Ho up there.
Well, I think there was
she didn't have the checkbook with her today. So,
well, I think a certain sound came from the audience when they saw Bill's face up there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I don't know if we can make that sound.
No, we're not allowed to.
Boo, or something like that. But I thought it was very enlightened that Steve said, you know, in order for Apple to win, Microsoft doesn't have to lose. No, kind of makes sense. Now, I think another thing, they may be getting nervous.
Do you think he believes that?
I don't know.
Okay. I guess Apple, I mean, they're both companies are doing just fine. So,
but I think Microsoft may have noticed. Now,
doing better than
right
I am.
Now, you look in iWork.
Currently.
So you have Pages. You have Keynote. Gee, you know, you're starting to get all the pieces of an Office suite. I think Microsoft may have noticed this, and then you may suspect Numbers, which Apple has trademarked.
Sure. No, I did not catch that. Really?
I saw table calculations.
For those of you listening at home, which is far more than here, although we've got more of a crowd here than I expected, Pages now has spreadsheet calculations built into it. So presumably that will potentially grow as...
not out of the question. Yeah, we've got
that's right. It was spreadsheet calculations in Keynote.
Yeah,
it's interesting. The comment from the folks here that Pages, he showed quite a bit about Keynote this morning, of course, and the spreadsheet calculation, but nothing from, not much rather, from Pages. It's sort of glossed over. That's right. Yeah. So who knows? Maybe it's under the, it you know, in the, and updates under the in the queue rather. Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, he's got to have something for WWDC. I guess that's going to be.
I liked how they kept talking so so loosely when they were talking about Aperture, about having the dual 30-inch screens. Did you like that? I mean, you know, it's like no big deal. Everybody's like, oh yeah, we get the two 30-inch screens, and then it works really great, and you can go back and forth. And it's like, geez, only two? You know.
They cost more than most. They cost more than the Mac, right?
Yeah, they cost more than you did to get to do this thing. You know, so.
Which was.
Yeah. We're going to... Oh, I didn't tell you we'd stop paying you.
Pay?
What is this pay of which you speak? Or let's talk about the MacBook Pro, right? Did you order yours?
I like it. No.
I did.
This pay thing you were talking about? That's what I was counting on.
Very well.
I got to evaluate it, and I think you should set me up with one.
Yeah, but, that's right.
That was neat to see. Some of the coolest thing, even though it's such a tiny little thing... How many people have... hopefully no one here has tripped over their power cord and had their power go smashing on the ground.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Has someone.
Yeah, okay. I was talking to...
Oh, there's some poor guy over there.
I was talking to Chuck Joyner today, and he was saying that what he has mastered is the art of the pratfall, because as he feels the power cord hit his leg, he goes down instead of the power book going down. So hopefully that... and it works. And what did you notice at the booth when we were playing with it?
Well, I was trying something just because I have... I don't know. I'm just curious, but I'm like, you know, I wonder if I can get sparks to fly.
It's
out
not
of
that
thing.
You're. It's not that you're curious. It's that you're a geek, and we both are. So you know, that's cool.
So what I did is I pulled it out. So it's a square thing, and you saw it up on the screen. But I pulled it out and I turned it upside down and I put it back in again. I was hoping for sparks or something, but it worked. And then about a second, a little light comes on to indicate that it did engage and that the power's going through it. But
It's great.
User-centered design. They're just like, you know, here's a problem. Let's help people solve it.
The current one goes full 360, right? Mm. So this one, it's actually quite less functional because it can only be upside down. No, never mind.
But it's a strong magnet, too, because it took quite a bit. I mean, you can't just pull it out lightly. I mean, there's a pretty super magnet in there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What else did I notice? Two latches on the screen.
That's right. Yeah. The little magnetic latch that drops down from the top of the PowerBook. Yep, two of them. Yeah, I guess that's right, because it's where the eyesight would be. Yeah, so they couldn't put it there. That's
but I think that's a good addition, because actually right now my PowerBook 12-inch, I'm having some problems with that latch where it doesn't always engage and it comes loose sometime. I think it's something with the spring and the button, because I noticed the button is a little off, and I think it's because it's not right. I mean, the machine stays asleep, which is good. I mean, that would really bother me if my machine woke up while it was in the case on the plane or something and I have a totally dead battery. But that looks nice. The IR... And they're using the same remote control.
Same remote. And, and presumably, you'll be able to... somebody will find a way to grab the data coming in from that IR port, and you can use anything you want with it, right? I mean, all sorts of cool things. And I guess... Well, I mean, now could we sync back with our, our trios with the IR port again? Remember the old days when we used to be able to do that?
Or my
remember
Palm.
That?
Or I used to
use Palm. Send
now
files back and forth. Remember we could do file sharing with
beaming.
Beaming. Yeah, right, yeah.
Okay, because now...
It's just... but the question is, where's the API to it, right? I mean, that's... Yeah, but it is. You're right. It's just
And you know, some
port.
Geek is going to program it so you can use it to control other things in your house.
Is it? I guess it would. Yeah, I guess it should. Yeah.
Now, here's a tip. We
I don't
this
know,
on
if you want to be aiming your PowerBook, like, you know, looking over the top of it to aim it at the TV and, you know...
Yeah, it'd be kind of silly.
You have to get mirrors and...
I got a geek tip.
A geek tip.
I did this on a past podcast, but if you take most... digital cameras, the CCD, charge coupled device in the camera, if you point it and you look in the screen of your digital camera at an infrared mode control, you will be able to see infrared. It's very cool. Try it out. So if you think your infrared remote control is dead and you have a digital camera, point it and press a button. And if you see it, and it'll usually flicker, either slow or fast. So I don't know. I read it on, I think it was Engadget or something. I didn't try this, just pointing my camera at various things to see what happens. So I may
there
want
you
to.
Go.
I don't know.
The one thing they didn't show us, or one thing in the keynote they didn't show us, is on the MacBook Pro, we didn't see any FireWire ports on the one side that they showed us. Well, if you go to the other side of it, there is one FireWire port, and it's only FireWire 400. It's not FireWire 800. Now, they, you know, very quickly at the Apple booth, they dismissed that by saying, well, it's got the express card slot, so you can, you know, you could go FireWire 800 that way. Well, A, that costs more money. B, does anybody sell this stuff? I mean, has anybody seen? We were looking around for some express card stuff, and I've never looked for it before, so I didn't know where to go, but I didn't see it. So
as cool as FireWire is, especially for external drives, I love it for external drives when I bring them on the road. I'm wondering if the age of FireWire may be coming to an end, because as you may have noticed, some of the iPods.
I don't think so, man.
Most the iPods don't have FireWire
digital anymore. Video cameras, but of course that's FireWire 400. But I mean, you know, if you got there's drives out there that can go faster. USB is not a consistent data stream, right? It fluctuates, whereas FireWire is committed bandwidth.
Usually pretty solid.
And USB, you know, it tops out lower than FireWire 800 does. So. I think that's going to be a deal killer for some people. Not everybody, but some people. And you know what? Next generation, they'll fix it. But I didn't have, you know, and Brian, our editor at TMO, at Mac Observer, was laughing at me today. He said, I can't believe it. You did it. You went and ordered a first generation machine. He said, what are you thinking? And I said, well, what I'm thinking of is that I've spent the last 3 years with a PowerBook that's too slow, and it's my main machine. Mm-hmm. And the sad thing is, my PowerBook's 6 months old. And it's still too slow. It started out too slow. So I don't have two more years to wait for them to get it right. So I'll deal with the first one, and it'll have all kinds of weird glitches here and there. I mean, I'm sure it'll work fine by and large, but that's, you know, you got to do it.
Now, for better or worse, if you would like to see how much time your processor is spending doing things, and actually sometimes, I mean, it's good and bad, but there's something that I use called menu meters. If you don't use it, try it out. But it'll show you, among other things, it'll show your processor utilization up in the menu bar. Now, especially on the G4, it's kind of aggravating because several times it spends a lot of time at 100%.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you hear the fan come on and things like that. But that's actually, it's a good tool to determine if, you know, just... Is your Mac very busy doing something?
One other tidbit about the MacBook Pro, it's using that Intel Core Duo chip, which, you know, they're marketing as a dual processor on one core chip. Mm-hmm. As far as the Mac OS is concerned, as far as OS X is concerned, it sees it as two separate processors. It's a shared cache, I believe, shared 2-meg cache. On the chip, but it does the full multi-threading, and you can have one, if you've got a single-threaded process, it can eat up 100% of one CPU, and then the other one is wide open. And I don't know if any of you have used dual-processor Macs. I have a dual G4 at home. The OS, the UI, is so much faster with a dual-processor Mac because there's that second processor there able to grab and deal with that stuff. It doesn't have to wait in line to hand that stuff off. So it does make a difference.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do, especially in Tiger, I think they offset a lot of the graphics off to the GPU.
Yeah, but it's still got to be passed through the processor, you know, and to get there. And it makes a difference. Even when the processors aren't even close to full tilt, a single proc G4, there's a noticeable difference when you move to the dual proc G4. So we got one more thing to give away, John, that I stood on, but they're still fine. I just hit the box, so the box is a little crushed, but they're the earphones similar to the ones you use when we do the podcast. The
very nice.
Yeah,
and these are good in AirPods.
So how are we going to give these away? Because we're getting close to the end here. How many new widgets did Steve show at the thing? How many? No, how many new? I'm sorry. How many new Apple widgets did Steve show? Anybody know? Yeah? Five. I believe that's correct, right? That's what I counted.
That sounds close.
Yeah, five. So I'm not going to throw these. They've already been through enough underneath my foot here. So.
Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, I like widgets. There are a few that I like. The stock one, which, the stock did...
That's right. Well, they did something new at the keynote, right? They, like you said before, they announced the numbers, and... And it was funny, walking into the keynote, I was saying to a friend of mine, I said, look, the stock always goes down after the keynote. It goes up as the week goes by, but it boosts before the keynote, and then after the keynote, it always goes down. And today it didn't seem to do that, and it seems like announcing the numbers at the keynote, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Of course, they don't get a double whammy, right? They did it all at once. So.
Maybe it'll go down tomorrow. But I saw it closed at around 80, which
that's good.
Happy.
It was up higher than that at one point, right? I mean, it was after the keynote, it was trading at like 84 or something like that, I think.
But I think they were impressed, yeah. I mean, well, it was probably the dollar figure, but also that they released the intel more or less, I don't know if you say ahead of schedule. I mean, they promised in 06, and it is 06.
It's 06.
But just they were able to do it for both parts of the product line, I think made them happy that Apple's executing this well.
Yeah.
And to have the guy in the bunny suit come on stage. The big cheese there.
Yeah.
That was funny, and a big cloud of smoke.
Are we good? We have anything more to talk about?
I don't know. Let's look here. iLife, iWork, OS
X. Any questions from anybody? Why are we still here? Okay, that's a good one, Don.
We can address that.
To generate the podcast, we talk about this quite a bit, the question was, what software do we use to generate our podcast? And I'm actually using it here today. It's called Audio Hijack Pro from Rogue Amoeba, and they are here. I don't know their booth number. It's that way, so it's got to be a low booth number, in the 300s, maybe 200s, 400s, something. Less than 700. Ah, thank you. Mm. And it is, it's not just a podcast tool. It is the Swiss Army knife of core audio. Anything you need to do with core audio, and core audio, of course, being the audio component of OS X. So really, anything you need to do with audio on OS X, Audio Hijack Pro will do it. It's killer software. I've had it for years, and I use it for all sorts of different things. It's not a little geeky. It's extremely geeky. It's easy to use, but it's extremely geeky, but you're only limited by your imagination with this stuff. You can route things back and forth. Yeah. 1044 on generic Windows machines. Well, we talked about that earlier here. What's that? It's okay. Yeah. We presume someone will crack it. So, I mean, that's just the way life goes. It's the vicious cycle, the back and forth. I do want to thank again our generous sponsor Mac Service for.
Thank you, Mac Service.
Yeah, that's right. This is if you need help with your PowerBook, give them a call or check out. I don't have their number, so it's MacService.com. Right, MacService. There you go.
Okay, who else can we thank?
We can thank Cashfly Hosting because I'm going to upload this to them in a minute. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's
Michael
even more. Michael.
For converting our feed to AAC, and now he can use GarageBand to do it. Michael.
Right there.
There he is, right next to you there. So, yeah. And that's it. So all the general stuff that doesn't necessarily apply to you folks here, but if you have comments, you can send them into us at MacGeekGab@MacObserver.com. You can see the show notes, which maybe John will build tonight. You're not going to build them? Come on, man. We got to go to that party for the people, too. I agreed to sing at that thing. Ugh.
I didn't force you. Gmail invites.
Gmail invites. We got more of them than we can shake boatloads. A stick at. Yeah. That's right. 206-666-GEEK. It's easier to get that in sync when we're not doing this with Skype, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
MacGeekGab.com.
MacGeekGab.com and Skype voicemail to MacGeekGab, and I swear we check
working?
It once a month.
Somebody was complaining about that.
What, was it not working? Oh, it might not
Somebody
be.
Somebody said he can't send stuff.
Huh. Anymore. I'll have to check that out.
Okay, and
nobody used it anyway. So,
and Podcast Alley.
Thanks for sitting around and watching us go through this this year. I'm sure it wasn't easy for you, so we appreciate it. And stay subscribed, or if you're not already subscribed, subscribe. MacGeekGab.com.
As you said,
iTunes.
Dave, we have faces for podcasting. Right?
Yeah, well, especially me with half my face not working these days.
Yeah.
So,
hey,
it happens.
Damn,
thanks, folks. Have a good one. I don't know who's up next. So. We got to do it again. I forgot to hit record.